I invite you to open your Bibles with me as we prepare for Holy Communion to chapter 13 of Mark. It's been remarked that something's wrong with that. Someone has said that this passage, chapter of Mark, is one of the longest in Mark's gospel. And it's one that's also been called a mini-apocalypse. In other words, apocalypse is simply a Greek word for revelation. So it's like Jesus here revealing the future coming and what will happen to us who believe in him. There's a lot of, shall we say, somebody once said, you know, preachers should just preach on the happy thoughts. Well, you can't just do that because it's not the full gospel. The full gospel has also some thoughts about judgment, the coming judgment before which we all will stand. And it also has thoughts of what in between will happen. You know, you've seen how many people in like India, China, are actually being martyred for their faith as Christians. You've seen of and maybe heard of the Lehigh Valley. You may have heard me say before is among the largest population of people of Palestinian birth, and there's a number of markets around here. And I heard a woman speaking once in Arabic, and she was in, you know, the full headscarf and everything. So I assumed she was a Muslim. And so I asked her, you know, I've learned to ask awkward questions over the years. And but she said to me, no, no, Christian. And she showed me her tattoo. Because she wanted to make it clear that she was, and everybody else, she said, everyone in this market is a Christian, because there's, and our church is, I believe it's St. Nicholas, over there. It's got sort of an onion dome looking building. A beautiful church. If any of you like icons, I like icons. I've got a whole, in fact, I asked for an icon for Christmas one year. And so we've got a number of them hanging in the parsonage. And I just think they're so beautiful because of the, they're actually, the monks who draw icons are actually ordained to that ministry of drawing these images of Christ. And so, at any rate, just to get back on track, Jesus is here talking about this future toward which we all look when he shall come again in glory as the judge of the living and the dead. Now, I chose as the verse to start with the 31st verse in which he says, heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will never pass away. You know, we see such change going on around us, but I think it is a worthy reminder that what the Lord has said is something that will always stand, and by which we should always also make as a, well, the word for the entire Bible is the canon, C-A-N-O-N, not double N's, but O-N. It's, as in other words, canon means measure or rule. It's meant to be a measure or a ruler by which we order our lives. And so what Jesus is here saying, you know, the world will change. But my words are the canon for your life. He goes on then to say, no one knows about the day or hour, not even the angels in heaven nor the Son, speaking of himself, but only my Father, the Father. It's like a man, he says, telling a tale as he always likes to do, going away. He leaves his house and puts his servants in charge, each with his assigned task, and tells the one at the door to keep watch. I was looking at some bulletins. I like to collect bulletins. People hand me bulletins from churches that they've visited. But I'll never forget one church that I served had in that bulletin, ministers the people. And then down below at the end was the pastor as myself. It's important for us to remember that every person who's a Christian is a minister. And that's what the word servant means. Is that could also be translated as minister. And that's what the servants that the master of the household put in charge. We are put in charge of something. Our lives. This church. Every ministry that the church has undertaken is on behalf of the householder who's gone away for a time. But then he goes on to tell of us keeping watch. Keep watch, he says, because you do not know when the owner of the house will come back, whether in the evening or at midnight or when the rooster crows or at dawn. Those are all, by the way, Roman means of tracking time. Who occupied the Holy Land, what we call the Holy Land at this time? It was Rome, wasn't it? So if it's a foreign occupation or not, you know, Jesus is saying, look, you live in the culture you live in. But we are to be a separate people. We are to keep watch until the time in which the master of the house returns. Whether it's the evening, midnight, rooster crow, dawn. However, the rule of the day is we are to be a different people because our master is different. If he comes suddenly, do not let him find you sleeping. What I say to you, I say to everyone, watch. This is the word of the Lord. As I was reading this, I was thinking about, I was thinking about the times I've been camping and had to pick out wood for the fire. And, you know, there's good wood and there's bad. There's punky wood that's just going to fall apart. There's wood that looks good. I picked out some wood the last camping trip. I filled up the entire truck with this wood. Robin and I got together, and it was heavy. Well, I found out quickly why it was heavy. I just found it along the side of the road. And when I found it, I was like, oh my gosh, I've fallen into gold here. It was all cut up to the size that you'd want for a campfire, And that's, you know, I'm not paying for wood. So I'm just going around scrounging around for whatever I can find that'll burn. Well, as soon as I put my axe into it, I knew why it was just lying there. Because it had been affected by the ash borer beetle. And so they had cut the tree down, and it was so wet inside that it was not going to burn. I mean, I had a good smoke, but it wasn't going to burn. And so I ended up having to, you know what kindling is? I just made kindling out of the whole thing. I kept on cutting it and cutting it and cutting it down into smaller and smaller pieces and then I just arrange it around the fire ring so it would dry out as the little fire that I got finally going burned. And so I was thinking, it took me to watch that fire like almost all night until I finally went to bed. Robin and I read by, the old Coleman lantern. Well, I don't know how, but she got through a book this thick. And the time we were camping, and I got about that far into my book. But part of it is, in my defense, I was trying to keep the fire going, Dennis. So that's the way you've got to do it, right? You got to keep the fire fed. It's interesting that the words that Jesus uses about keeping watch, there are three of them. The first word is blepo. Now, that's a word that's normally translated look. Like the other day I saw a hawk fly across the sky, and I looked at it in admiration. I love watching hawks. So you might say that's one meaning of it. But there's another meaning in which the NIV actually uses it for it. And that's, it says, be on guard. But remember, its first meaning is look. So it could also be look out. Keep an eye out for Jesus' coming. And as a result, be ready. The second word is a groupineo, which means literally stay awake. Now, the NIV translates it as be alert. But its primary meaning is stay awake. And it comes from the conjunction of two other words. One, of course, agros, which means ground, agriculture, comes from this word. The other being hypnos, which is like we get the word hypnotism or hypnotic from that word. So when you combine the two, it means to sleep on the ground. And what happens when you sleep on the ground? Is it comfortable? I'll tell you, I'm 65, and I'm not going to sleep on the ground very much anymore. And even when I'm sleeping on a board, it's like I'm at the edge of almost every sound. A bear came into our camp this last time we were sleeping, and I was like, instantly, something's wrong. And Robin got herself out the door before I got out in her night clothes, you know. And there were these two guys who were, for some reason, walking very early in the morning. And they said to her, hey, there's a bear up there, which she already knew. But it turned out the bear didn't run very far. It was almost like from here to the edge of the what do you call this? the edge of the chancel. Okay, let's just call that that. And so that's all the further it had run. And Robin, by the time she realized that, picked up a poker. Now, I don't know what she thought she was going to do with the poker against a bear, but this is the kind of alertness, because when you're sleeping on the ground, you're never fully asleep. And you're always alert. That's the kind of alertness that Jesus is kind of talking about here by using this particular word. We're sleeping out in the open. So we're exposed. Lyachov shared the story about an Air Forceman by the name of Robbie Robbins who had been told to come, go back home. He had flown his 300th mission. What was the number of missions that the bombers in World War II were told to fly? 25, right? He had flown his 300th and so was given permission to go back home. And when he arrived, he flew first to Massachusetts and then drove to western Pennsylvania, right near Pittsburgh. When he got there, he saw this big banner across the whole garage. "Welcome home, Dad." Well, how did they know? How did they know that Robbie was coming home? He walked in, he says, and the kids were about half dressed for school, and they came running up to him screaming, "Daddy, Daddy!" But his wife, listen to this, I liked it. His wife, Susan, was all dressed up in, what do you think? A yellow dress, tie a yellow ribbon. She wore this beautiful yellow dress and was all dressed up for him, lipstick or whatever. "How did you know I was coming home today?" she asked. He asked. And she said, "I didn't. I didn't know." Through tears of joy. "But we knew one day you were coming home." This is what Jesus means for us to be ready. Sleeping on the ground, ready to hop up at the moment's notice when he comes again. And the third word I find the most interesting because it's used the most in terms of what's generally translated as watch or be on guard, be on alert. All those other times that it's mentioned is the word Gregorio. You know the name Gregory? It comes from this verb, which means to keep awake, keep watch. You know, the worst thing a soldier can do is fall asleep while on the watch, right? The enemy can creep into the camp when the other soldiers are asleep and devastate, kill the entire squad, can't they? In fact, there was a day when a soldier who was caught falling asleep on the watch would be executed. And I think that's why campfires are helpful, because they need to be tended to keep burning, don't they? if you don't keep the campfire tended, apply that to your life. If you don't keep those fires of your faith burning, if you let the coals spread out from the flames, what's going to happen? The fire is going out. But if you keep it, keep those coals together and keep the wood burning, keep it dried out and keep it ready, you'll be ready for when the Lord comes. Ada Blankhorn wrote a gospel hymn, "Keep the Watch Fires Burning." She says, "Christian, keep the watch fires burning. Zion's hills ablaze with light. Oft with cheer, oft will cheer some lonely traveler toiling homeward through the night. Christian, keep the watch fires burning, Zion's hills ablaze with fire. Safe will guide each weary pilgrim through the darkness of the night. Whether it be when the evening, at midnight, when the rooster crows, or at dawn, that our Master returns. What I say to you, Jesus said, I say to everyone, watch." As we watch together, let us share at the beginning of Advent, the season of expectation, the season of looking forward to not only the time in which He came, the first, but more the time in which He shall come again in glory. Share together with the watchfires burning the Lord's Supper. Heavenly Father, we thank You for what You have done in Jesus, the Messiah. For He, in giving His life as He was born and grew and taught, and finally was crucified on the cross, He made atonement for us for the forgiveness of sins. But moreover, we look forward to that day in which He shall come again in glory and put all that is wrong aright. Make just the wrong and bring to justice those who have no faith by what their deeds have exposed. And so now we give honor and glory to You as we recall what Jesus did on the night He was betrayed. For He took bread, He blessed it and broke it and gave it to His disciples, saying, "Take and eat, and do this in remembrance of Me." And likewise, after supper, He took the cup. He blessed it and gave it to His disciples, saying, "Drink from this, all of you, for this is My blood, poured out for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink of it in remembrance of Me." And so it is in remembrance of what you have done for us that we offer ourselves back to you as a holy and living sacrifice that's united with the sacrifice of Christ himself. For it is by Christ, with Christ, and in Christ that all honor and glory is yours, Almighty Father, now and forever. Amen.